Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is yet another blessing to once again open God's Word together. And I would like to invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. We will reflect on 1 Samuel and in particular chapter number 2 in that book of 1 Samuel. When it comes to our service in the Lord's vineyard and our desire to be used by God, there are a number of things that are expected and required for us to serve the Lord. For example, you are expected to come and be equipped for the work of ministry so that you are well prepared, that you know the deep truths of our faith, so that you will in return be able to teach. Sometimes in your local churches there are also programs and maybe even structures that have been put in place that they have made sure that before you would assume your role as to whichever capacity that you are expected to serve, you must undergo through that you will be able to be a man who is serving God effectively. But in all these things that we endeavor to achieve and all these platforms maybe that may be set in place, there is one key requirement, and that this is something that I find it to be a theme that the men of old, the reformers, the Puritans, would emphasize again and again. As much as your knowledge is important, as much as your experience is important, but your life and character and conduct is equally as important. As Charles Spurgeon has said, you are your own tool. In other words, if you are blunt, as an axe can be blunt, then in the hands of the master, you will be so. As Robert Murray Machen would say, holiness is the greatest need. My personal holiness is the greatest need for my people. Now that said, I want us to come to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, and my title this morning is Serving God in Honor. Or if we want to say, Serving God with Honor, in Honor, with Honor, whatever preposition you want to use. But let's read together from chapter number 2 from verse 12. We will read together from verse 12 all the way to verse 17. Then we will come again from the same chapter of verse 22, going down to verse number 26. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. The custom of the priests with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan and or kettle or kundron or pot. All that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burnt, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give meat to the priest for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." And if the man said, "Let them burn the fat first, and then take as much as you wish," they would say, "No, you must give it now. And if not, I will take it by force." Thus, the sin of the young man was very great in the sight of the Lord. For the man treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. Let's jump down to verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with women who were serving at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all these people. Now, my sons, it is not good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father. Why? For it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. Let's bow our heads and we pray. Our glorious, eternal, and sovereign God, we bow before you this morning. We thank you so much that you have been so good to us. You are God who gives life and breath and all things to all men. You've sent your Son, your only Son, Jesus. He is the precious one whom you are well pleased. By him we have access before you. We stand here this morning before the throne of grace, where we may find mercy and grace to help us in time of need, even in such a time as this. So Lord, how I ask now that you would, even as we ponder on these scriptures, as we reflect on your word, you will once again minister to us for the glory of your Son, for the goodness of his church, we ask. Amen. The book of 1 Samuel chapter number 2 from verse 12, we have read this morning, and we see the story of the sons of Eli. When it comes to serving God with honor, and the word honor as we know it, we honor certain people because they have perceived value or because of their position. Right, that would be one of the reasons why we ascribe honor. To honor, the word honor in the Bible, honor simply means weightiness. To ascribe the weightiness due a thing or a person. We also have in the Bible the biblical instructions that are given to us for whom we should esteem this manner of honor. For example, we are told in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16, the Bible states that we are to honor our parents. In Leviticus chapter 19 verse 32, the Bible encourages us to honor the elderly. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 13, we are admonished in that we are to honor those who rule us. But there are dozens of Bible verses that tells us to honor God, to honor his Son, Jesus Christ, to honor his word. These will be the two specific means through which God has revealed himself to us. Not only do they, the Bible and Jesus Christ, not only do they instruct us to honor him, but they also show us how to honor God. Now, in the context we find ourselves in the postmodern world, we are called to honor him still. What do I mean by that? In the postmodern world where tolerance is the theme of the day, those who embrace postmodernism, the radical Christianity as intolerant, right? They will ridicule us to be egotistical. They will ridicule us to be arrogant because of our exclusive claims about God and on morality. So you can live anyhow you want, and I can choose what I want. It's my body, it's my choice. However I want to live, I can live. But sadly, beloved in the Lord, I want you to know this, that this thinking has gone into the church. Because just as the world is saying, to say that there is only one way to heaven through Christ is a view that shows that you are in intolerant. Or to say that there is only one moral way in which that we need to follow, and that's what is given for us in the Bible. The Bible is no longer regarded as the final authority, but man is. In the similar fashion, we find here in this particular text that the men in the temple, the sons of Eli, had that same view. So here are the three things I want us to examine this morning. We're going to see the rebellion of the sons of Eli. Secondly, we're going to see the reluctance of Eli. Then we're going to see the retribution that God inflicts to such men who have no regard for God. Because we have such men even in the church today, right? They are their own authority. They are, actually what they say goes. People no longer go to church with a Bible anymore. Isn't it? Even when they are coming to devotions, but they are pastors. They don't go to church with a Bible anymore. Right? Why? Because they are going to hear what the man of God has to say. The man of God is the final authority. Isn't it? That's what we have in the church today. And the same was true in this time as Samuel here records, because Samuel, chapter number 2, but I want you to, even if you go to chapter number 3, there is a statement that Samuel takes note in verse number 1 of chapter 2. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering before the Lord in the presence of Eli, and you hear in verse number 1, and I want you to hear this, Samuel says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word of God was rare. And you'd wonder to say, what is it that Samuel is meaning when he says the word of God is rare in these days? Now, I want us to see the rebellion of the sons of Eli first. The Bible tells us these are men who are serving in the temple, verse number 12. The sons of Eli, they were worthless men. Verse 12 says, they did not know the Lord. These would be priests. These will be men who have been assigned to represent men before God. These will be men whose task will be to instruct Israel in the laws of God. But they are regarded here and they are described to be worthless. The word used, they are worthless. They are wicked men. That's what it means. They were men who were perverted in their ways. They were men who were ungodly in their behavior. They were naughty. That's what it literally means. This word here, as you see, these men are called, they were rebels against the God whom they were serving. Unworthy men. And to add to that clause, to qualify it, Samuel tells us that they did not know the Lord. The covenant-keeping God, the self-existent one, Yahweh. The name Lord used there is the Jewish name of God, the name Jehovah. They do not know him. They were men who were not just rebellious concerning or before the Lord, but they were men who were ignorant about him. And what you have here, brothers and sisters, it's this kind of men. You would wonder to say, what is it that made these men to be regarded, to be described as perverse, to be described as rebels, to be described as ungodly, to be described as naughty? What is it that these men were doing? So we see it in their actions. What is it? There are two things we are told. If you can see from verse number 13 all the way to verse number 17, we see here that they were greedy men. What are they doing? In their greed, the people of God and God's portion suffered. The people of God suffered under them. We see in verse number 14, let's read from verse number 13, the custom of the priest with the people was that when the man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come. And while the meat was boiling with three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or kundrod or pot, or that the fork brought out, the priest would take for himself. And this is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who would come there. So this is what they were doing. They were doing to the people of God as they would come to offer sacrifice. These men would come and this is what they would do. Before even the fat would be burnt, the servant would come and this is what they would demand. Give me meat for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat for you, but only raw. And if the man said, let them burn first, this is what they will say. No, you must give it now. Why? Because you will not take, you will not accept such. And then someone makes this comment in verse number 17. Now, I want you to see here. Thus, the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord. Why? For the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. Beloved, I want you to see here that the Bible records here as to what was happening in the temple. These men are showing greed. And to make matters worse, what they are doing actually is, it's not only greed, but I want you to see secondly, there were men who were immoral. We see in verse number 22. Now Eli was very old. He kept on hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel and how they lay with women who were serving at the entrance of the tent of meat. And here's the word that we do find then. I want you to see now in chapter 2 in verse number 30. Because God then, so we see here that these men are rebellious. They are rebellious. Their rebellion is revealed in their greed and in their immorality. That's where we see in their service to God, they served God with contempt and they have no regard for God. As such, we see here that they were perverse and they were prideful. In their perversion, they have no regard for the things of God. You know, it was church as usual, call it like that, in our modern day and age. They would come and take that portion which belonged to the Lord. And Leviticus chapter 3, verse 16 tells us that. There was a part of the portion in the sacrifices that men would give, but there was that part of the portion, according to Leviticus chapter number 3, verse 16 and Leviticus 7:31, that portion which belonged to the Lord, these men would come and take that portion. In other words, they would regard God to be in the same league with them. He was no longer this all sovereign, almighty God who must be obeyed and who must be revered. These are men who have come to a place where they are now so familiar to the things of God in such a way that they do not have any regard or zeal for the things of God. And the book of Numbers records for us another man contrary to these men in Numbers chapter 25, verse number 10 to 13. When Israel committed idol worship at Shittim, one of them was caught in the act. The grandson of Aaron took a javelin and he slew the man of Israel and his heathen partner. In consequence, the Lord said to Phinehas, we know this, he has turned my wrath away, but more, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, and even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God. Unlike Phinehas,
who was zealous for his God, unlike Phinehas, who turned the wrath of God away from the people of God, these priests serving here are actually calling upon themselves the wrath of a holy God. Phinehas the priest had honored God, and God highly honored him and his family. Eli, however, here we see Eli had dishonored God, and he and his sons brought down condemnation and judgment onto themselves.
And here's what I want you to see, brothers and sisters. What is signified here by honoring the Lord is clearly exemplified by Phinehas in Numbers.
That he shows zeal, zeal for the holiness of God. Whereas what we find with these men, they are actually perverse and they are prideful. And in their pride, you see, even in their pride, look at verse number 22. Their fathers, here is what they are doing. It was actually on the headlines, if it was in the modern day and age. They even lay with women who were serving at the entrance of the tent of meeting. This is the kind of a man of God who not only steals from the finances of the church, but is even sleeping with the people who are serving in the church.
You're smoking too much oxygen, Gideon.
These things are happening. You see, church, and you hear this again and again. You hear this again and again. You hear of this a man of God who is standing so well, but a love of money comes in and he diverts from that which God has called him.
Or he divorces his wife.
It's a sleeping with the worship team members, the girls who are serving in the worship team. Or the wives of the deacons and the elders in the church. We're hearing those stories. Worthless, ungodly, wicked men. They found their way in the church. And Eli kept on hearing about this. And listen to this. Eli tells them, he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear your evil dealings from all these people. No, my sons, it is not good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading." And his concern, here is his concern. His concern is the same concern that Phinehas had. Because in Phinehas' mind, you remember in the book of Numbers, Phinehas, the Bible tells us, this is God had said this, to say, "Phinehas has turned my wrath away." And Eli, as a priest, he knows very well, because I'm sure he has heard about these stories as to what happened in those days.
And Eli says to his sons, listen to what Eli says. "No, my sons, no, my sons, no, my sons. This is not a good report.
If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?"
And here's a statement that really frightens me. "But they would not listen to the voice of their father." They would not listen.
They do not know the Lord. Not only are they rebellious against God, but even they're rebellious against their father. I want you to see here, not only are they dishonoring God, but they're also dishonoring their father. They are faithless in little things. They are faithless in big things. They dishonor the one they are able to see. As such, they are also capable of dishonoring the one they are even unable to see. Do you see that? From the lesser to the greater. It's from the small to the... Can you see that? They are unable to honor their dad. Because the Bible commands in Exodus, you shall honor your father and your mother that your days may be long, isn't it? They dishonor their dad. They cannot even listen to what their dad was saying. As such, they are even unable to honor God. And here's what I see here. Sometimes you talk to, because sometimes when you are talking to one another as pastors, as those in ministry, we can get so stubborn. We have verses we can back ourselves. He's a gracious God. We are no longer under the law. He understands. We hear all the stories, and this one is in the public domain, so I'm going to use it. It's in the public domain. Omotoso. We've heard about Omotoso, right? And the girl that he was actually, the girls he was sleeping with. You hear of the nasty stories of him sleeping with these girls and actually taking a Bible and telling them to say, no, God is going to forgive us. Beloved, that's dishonor. And people come and speak to you. People come and speak to these men, but they do not listen. And you're going to see later on, and they go to war, and you find that the war, they are facing defeat. And somehow, somewhere, we think maybe it's God who has lost his power. But no, it's not the God who has lost his power. It's the men who are carrying the ark, who are not in the right position. You see in chapter number 5, 6. Go read. Read for yourself. You see. But here's my point. They will not listen. Why? Look at verse number 25. For it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. What do we see there? What do we see? Firstly, the rebellion of the sons. But what we see in this particular context, as then Eli, verse number 27, you're going to see Eli then is confronted. There is a man of God. We don't know who he is, but there was a man of God who came to Eli and confronted Eli. And the man of God reveals to us that not only are the sons of Eli rebellious, but Eli was reluctant. He too honored his sons more than he honored God. And here's what the Lord says. So this rebellion was actually something that I want you to see, as Romans chapter 1 puts it. From verse number 18. The wrath of God revealed against the ungodliness, the unrighteousness of man, who suppresses the truth for a lie. Why? Because his invisible attributes, namely his divine power, they've been clearly seen since the foundations of the world. But they did not see it fit to honor him as God or give thanks to him. What does God do? Remember what he does. What does he do? He hands them over to the passions of their hearts. Men, gays, women, lesbian. They become heartless, ruthless, boastful. They have no regard of God. And although they know fully well that those who do such things deserve to be killed, they not only give appraisal to those who do it, but they even approve it. This is exactly what happens here. God hands the sons of Eli over because they could not honor him. So the rebellion of the sons, the reluctance of the priest Eli, but the retribution of God. Because God deserves all the honor, because God himself requires that we give him his right view, because God requires that we serve him in honor, because God is the God who never shares his glory with any man, Beloved, what you see here, as you see the story progresses, even to the time that he pronounces to say that the sons of Eli are going to be killed, we stand therefore that this God requires that we have a right view of him. Unless our thoughts about him are shaped by what Scripture reveals concerning this God, his being, his character, and his perfections, we shall entertain the most erroneous and dangerous ideas of him. You see, we can get so familiar to the things of God in such a way that we lose the essence. We lose the joy, the excitement, the essence as to why we are here. We are not here because we have qualified to be his servants. He is the one who has qualified us to be his servants. So much so that the popular conception now prevailing is that God is fickle. That's what some people would hold him. They'll think that he's just fickle. They'll think that he's just weak. So that he has much cause to complain. He has to do our bidding. He has to follow our agenda, not us following his agenda. No, but I want you to remember this, that he is absolutely sovereign. He is infallible. He is infinitely great. He is awe-inspiring in his majesty. He is infinitely holy, and he does not treat sin lightly. He is to be honored by ascribing to him glory of his matchless excellency, as we see in Exodus 15, verse 11. And he says in chapter number 2, verse 30, those who honor me, look at verse 30 of the same chapter. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your household and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, days are coming when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. Then in distress you will look with envious eye on all the prosperity that shall be bestowed on Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. The only one of you whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be spared to weep his eyes out, to grieve his heart, and all the descendants of your house shall die by the sword of men. Here's what I want you to see here. The sons of Eli rebelled against God. Eli was reluctant to discipline his sons, but God brought about retribution against the house of Eli. He never shares his glory with any man. Is this the same wordiness that is expected of us in the New Testament? Oh, we are in the dispensation of grace, so we can do anyhow we want. Force. Jude chapter 1. Men have crept in unawares. They've turned the grace of God as a license to sin. They deny their master. 2 Peter chapter 2. The one who bought them. What is expected of us? 2 Timothy chapter 2, 19. Paul says, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who desires to be used as a vessel for honorable use, right? Let him purify himself just as he is pure. We are to serve the Lord in honor in this time and season we are living in, where there are many who are about their own selves and their own biddings. We are to come in and to stand and wait on the Lord and allow Him by His grace through His Son Jesus Christ to use us for His honor and glory. For we in our, of ourselves, we are unable to do this, are we? None of us can do this. But God Himself, through His Son Jesus, has done what we could not do in and of ourselves, showing us the manner of man He was, that in His strength as well, we can go out there and serve Him. Let's bow our heads and we pray together. Our glorious Lord, we know that You are holy. As we stand before Your holy throne, we find ourselves wanting like Isaiah. Your wrath must be satisfied in us. But in mercy, that judgment and wrath is satisfied in Your Son. Yes, no man can mediate between God and man, but yet we know there is one now mediator between God and man. That's Jesus. It is You who has made us a kingdom of priests to our God. For that, we say thank You. Make us holy as You are holy, even as we serve You in this perverse generation. For Your sake we ask. May God's people say amen.